Dolph Ziggler winning the NXT Championship. Jeff Hardy making his AEW debut. John Moxley and Bryan Danielson with William Regal in their corner make their tag team Dynamite debut. The Inner Circle is no more. FTR fires Tully Blanchard. Wardlow leaves MJF in the Pinnacle. Sammy Guevara loses his TNT title. And I don't know if this happened in the last 24 hours, but Miro signs a four-year contract extension with AEW. With the exception of Miro, all of that has transpired in the last 24 hours, and we've left out a few things as well. No intro today. Let's get right into it. Welcome, everyone. Wednesday Night Dynamite. Don Tony here as always. I want to thank you for tuning in. Later on in the show, I will give you details. If you would like to be part of Friday's AEW Rampage watch party, we had a ball last night with NXT Roadblock. We'll talk about Roadblock. We'll talk about Dynamite tonight. You know, tonight we had the great, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, not too much bad and ugly, but, man, that main event with Sammy Guevara, there's two things that stuck out to me, and we will get into it. Anyway, let's get, I have to talk a little bit about CM Punk later on, the internet wrestling community, about the going old school with the Ring of Honor theme. Oh, we have a little rant to do a little bit later on. But let's talk about first Dolph Ziggler winning the NXT championship. You know, yesterday I watched NXT doing a watch party. And, you know, we're leading into WrestleMania. And one of the topics that came up early on is, you know, what is Dolph Ziggler going to actually do WrestleMania weekend? Nothing on the agenda. And I don't remember who it was last night saying, you know what, wouldn't be surprised if Dolph Ziggler wins the belt and Bron Breakker chases it leading into Stand and Deliver, because Bron Breakker, you know, in his losses, he's been well protected. And on Monday, when we did Breakfast Super Raw, Mish had talked about the idea of Dolph Ziggler winning the NXT championship. I got to be honest with all of you out there, I love it. I love it. You know, for anyone out there that is going to criticize that a WWE star is now in NXT, and isn't it supposed to be about developing the stars of tomorrow? Of course it is. Are you paying attention to the storyline? Bron Breakker, his reaction after he lost the match. Dolph Ziggler taught Bron Breakker a lesson. Son, you could lose the title without being pinned. That's the storyline. This is the development of Bron Breakker. You don't just get a bunch of wins and a certain amount of time under your belt and like, hey, I'm ready to join the main roster. You know, this is about storyline, the development of Bron Breakker. And let's also be honest, over the years, we have had wrestlers help in developmental to help bring up the stars of tomorrow. I mean, are we going to go all the way back? I mean, look, ECW wasn't a developmental, but it was a tiny little organization. You look at other feds. They have had veterans come in and win championships. So I don't understand. I mean, personally, my opinion, I think the people that were criticizing Dolph Ziggler winning that championship yesterday are just not NXT fans. Or they think the cool thing to do is to rip NXT. Any reason behind it, criticize NXT. I love this because in the end, Bron Breakker is going to regain that championship. And, you know, look, I know it's an unpopular opinion for a lot of people out there. I have been saying it for the longest time. I am a Dolph Ziggler fan. And Dolph Ziggler, as weird as this may sound to some, I think you could have looked back on it, and you may agree with me on this. I think the best time in Dolph Ziggler's career is right now. He has changed his look a little bit. He has tweaked his style a little bit. The guy could still go at a top level. He may not be one of your top favorites to see on TV. He may not be someone that you're really interested in watching. But if you watched that match yesterday, that was him teaching a lesson to all those NXT fans, to the people in the back, to Bron Breakker, the storyline. It's a veteran. It also shows. It also shows, look, in Major League Baseball, sometimes you send a Major League star down to the minor leagues. You get a little bit of work in. You might be rehabbing from an injury. They go down in the minor leagues and they bat 400. I mean, you know, of course, a wrestler on the main roster should be able to beat most times somebody in the minor leagues. In the end, this is about Dolph Ziggler helping WWE, getting paid for it, but helping WWE, helping NXT, helping Bron Breakker. This is what we've been talking about for over 2 years. For 2 years, I've been saying they got to go back to their roots. They got to go old school. They don't have an OVW. They don't have a Heartland. They don't have a Florida Championship Wrestling. And once in a while, take somebody from the main roster, send them to NXT. It's not a demotion. It's helping the stars of tomorrow. You can't just have coaches, former wrestlers that are coaches to teach them for tomorrow. It has to be in the ring, during matches sometimes, promo battles, back and forth, and that's really the ultimate test. So I loved this yesterday. I did not think it was going to happen, but it did. And when Stand and Deliver goes down, I think that is where you're going to see Bron Breakker likely get his championship back. I thought it was a great thing yesterday. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, look, if you disagree with me, I mean, you have every right to your opinion just as much as I do. But in my opinion, this was a great thing yesterday. And I really enjoyed it. And if it trolled a lot of people, oh, so be it. But Dolph Ziggler, I mean, he isn't just a name showing up there, taking the title, screwing up NXT. It's not about a Vince decision. It's all, if you pay attention to the learning storyline, the maturity of Bron Breakker. I know all of us, we're not supposed to think that deep. Just like you're not required to know Ring of Honor history from 17 years ago. Just like you're not required to know what has transpired in the world of wrestling in the past. I can't wait to get into that rant about the CM Punk stuff later on. Oh man, that really pissed me off. What's pissing me off now is I realize that the Dolph Ziggler tweet where he had Krusty the Clown, I forgot to put it in my computer, so I can't share it with you, but congrats to Dolph Ziggler, and ultimately, even better, it at the end of this is going to make Bron Breakker that much better. So, and I don't doubt Bron Breakker's promo next week is going to bring up what we just talked about. So, all right, we're going to fly through the topics because, as I announced a couple of days ago, the shows going forward are going to be shorter for the simple reason that there's literally something going on every day. And it's not fair for all of you to be forced to tune into 2 hours every day. Nobody wants to sit and watch me for 20 hours a week. So we're going to keep the topics going, keep the conversations going. Before anything, I just want to give a shout out to Big Armada. NXT talent is getting experience working with the main roster. Sure, look at AJ Styles. AJ Styles giving a little bit of a rub to Grayson Waller. Just because you come from the main roster doesn't mean the main roster talent always has to lose. AJ Styles winning, Grayson Waller getting a little bit of an experience. You know, this is what it's like to go against a current elite superstar. Not just a coach, not somebody who may have peaked 10, 20 years ago, but somebody who is still can be at the top of their game. That is the ultimate test. And you have to do it on TV. You have to do it in front of a live crowd. That is the ultimate test. So I enjoyed it. All right. Now, tonight also, we had the debut of Jeff Hardy. And I tried to grab screenshots as quickly as I could. It's not easy to prepare with lots of photos, especially when you go live less than 5 minutes after the show goes over. But believe me when I tell you, if you don't think that that is real, raw emotion, you got another thing coming. I only have one problem with this storyline that happened today. And I guess we could get into the Dynamite recap right now. There's no reason why we need to wait on it. But, and later on, we'll talk a little bit about Tony Khan's comments about the future of Ring of Honor, because it was really, really good to hear what Tony Khan had to say. But, you know, there was one thing that I didn't like about that. I will say this also, it was pretty damn cool to see Jeff Hardy in the same ring with Sting. All right, maybe they have been in the ring a few times back in TNA after that infamous incident, but the reason why I say now is because all those years that have gone by and Jeff Hardy still battled with demons. He's still battling demons now. Alcoholism is something that it's something that could stick with you with the rest of your life. Even if you're 1 year clean, 5 years clean, 10 years clean, there is still always that battle, especially that this man, the brutality that he has put on his body over the years, and he's not taking pain medication, nothing to numb the pain other than ice baths and maybe massages. You know, to see after all this time that he could still do it, and to see Sting at that age, I think that's a pretty cool moment to see them two in the ring, and they could still go. Even if it is Sting's rules, if you know what I'm talking about. But we go a little out of place, wherever the conversation leads us. You know, if you want to tune into Dynamite and see it in exact order, by all means. But I'll tell you what I didn't like about this whole segment. Now, AEW teased that there was going to be an emergency meeting with the AHFO because of what went down at Revolution. Okay, remember the match at Revolution? Darby Allin, Sting, Sammy Guevara versus Matt Hardy, Andrade, and Isaiah Cassidy. Okay? Now you think of all of the heat between the Hardy family office and Darby Allin for months and months and months and months and months. Keep that thought in the back of your mind. Think of the promo that they filmed for Revolution when Darby Allin, you know, and Sting, they had a preacher. It was the funeral of Andrade and Isaiah Cassidy and Matt Hardy. And then you see this bus or truck or whatever it was go through some barricades and Sting with the flamethrower, chasing the Reverend away and flamethrowing everything, burning everything. Keep that thought in the back of your mind, because tonight we had the emergency meeting. Andrade wants to fire Matt Hardy. Now, I wrote this, and I don't do it for acknowledgement. And I know, you know, the in crowd will always support in comments, but I put posted this earlier as a joke. There we go. I was hoping that the AHFO, which I call the AFL, CFO, OWO, deletes Matt Hardy from the group and leaves him broken. You know, I thought that would be a cool way to get Jeff Hardy into AEW. So tonight, they have the meeting in the ring. We have the Butcher, the Blade, Jose, the assistant, Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Private Party. They're in the ring. And Matt Hardy and Andrade going back and forth against each other. Andrade wants to fire Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy says, because he's not wearing a suit, he says, every time I put on the suit, I act like an asshole. And he uses Andrade as an example. And the crowd seems to be behind Matt Hardy a little bit. And Andrade wants to take a vote to decide if they're going to keep Matt Hardy in the group or not. So Andrade votes no. Matt Hardy votes yes. Jose the assistant votes no. And I thought in storyline, well, why is Jose the assistant even part of this? Because you got the Butcher and the Blade there too. And you only have Private Party behind Matt. So right there, it's 4-3. Angle done. So I don't know why they insisted to put Jose in that as well. But anyway, what ends up happening is Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy put the thumbs up. And Matt Hardy is basically saying to Andrade, you know, look, what did you think? You think my kids were going to turn against me? And a little bit reminiscent of Batista and Evolution, thumbs up, well, Triple H also, thumbs up, turns into thumbs down, and Andrade tells Matt Hardy, always watch your back. Matt Hardy, a little concerned. He turns around, and Private Party is looking at him with thumbs down. And Matt Hardy's like, you know, how could you do that to me? How could you do that to me? Next thing you know, the entire AHFO beats down Matt Hardy. Here's where stupid territory comes in. Who makes the save? Sting and Darby Allin. Now, I understand, you know, these are the Acme Insta feuds. You have somebody show up for no reason, and then that leads to a match. When we get to Rampage, you know why I say that. So what ends up happening is Sting and Darby Allin enter the ring, but the odds are still against them because you got Matt Hardy beaten down. You have Sting and Darby on one side, but you have Butcher, Blade, Private Party, and Andrade on the other. So the numbers are still off. And again, why is Darby Allin and Sting out there to save Matt Hardy? Give me one logical reason. One logical reason. So next thing you know, familiar theme music hits. Jeff Hardy. He comes down to his Hardy Boys music, and crowd is going nuts. You know, he's so concerned about his brother knocked out that he's got to do, you know, like whatever he does. So he comes down to the ring. Crowd is going nuts. He is clearing house. Next thing you know, he hits the Swanton Bomb onto the Blade. And, everybody is just loving what they're seeing. You know, you have Jeff Hardy. No face paint, by the way. You know, I don't know if they're going to continue with face paint. They may not. But Jeff Hardy in the ring with Matt, as I showed you earlier, that very nice emotional hug. And that's how we end the segment. Now, I've talked about this over the years because of my theme music radio station that I used to have 20 years ago. I can't believe it's 20 years already. But for those that were asking tonight, you won't get the dumb shit that went on the last couple of days about CM Punk's Ring of Honor music. All right. You ask me, DT, how are they able to use the Hardy Boys music in AEW? Doesn't WWE own that music? I've talked about this before. For those that aren't aware, WWE never owned that music. That is production music. I think the name of the artist might be Zach Tempest. I know I've mentioned his name in the past. And the Hardy music, you may have not thought about it, but the Hardy music has been used in commercials. They've been used in sports stadiums. It's been used on television shows. Hardy Boys music has been around. Harlem Heat's music has been around. The NWO's music, you might remember 20 years ago when I had my theme music, the history of the NWO music, that is from an X-rated movie. And I still have all the different cuts of the original New World Order music. There's some cuts that if I played it on here, you would laugh your ass off because they are designed for an X-rated movie scene. I mean, the NWO version that you hear is a very condensed version, but the original music is about twice as long and it's got some wild music part of it. But the Hardy Boys music, is it called Loaded? I think it might be called Loaded. That music is not owned by WWE. That is why WWE, AEW is able to use it. Now, I know what some of you are going to think. Why isn't he coming out to his own music? I mean, a lot of people wanted the Brother Nero music. Well, I personally think, even if he doesn't keep using this theme, I personally think it was the right way to go tonight. Number one, because AEW could use it. And number two, you know, you want every single person in that building to know immediately whose music that is. Believe me, not every person out there is familiar with Jeff Hardy's own music. You might see people talking about it all the time, but not every single person out there, you know, it has heard it. So you use familiar music that everybody knows? Of course. If the Hardys wrestle together, that's probably the ideal music for them to use. Now, the only question is, do they go back to their original Broken gimmick? Because I know a lot of people want to see that. that is where they may have some issues. So personally, for now, Jeff Hardy is now officially a member of AEW Wrestling. Very interesting choice of pitcher that Tony Khan used, considering that this picture of Jeff Hardy is quite old, but still, I don't give a shit. He's in AEW. He's happy. The fans are happy. That's all that matters. Yes, the way he left WWE was not the professional way to leave. But with all of the battles and how much entertainment he has given us over the years, and especially that, you know, he has battled so many demons and it emotionally rattles you sometimes, you know, I find it in a little place. That billion-dollar company will do just fine. Somebody walking out the way they did, okay, that's messed up. You don't want to start a trend where everybody starts doing that. But I think we could find it a little place to let it go. We let it go. All right. So let's continue a little bit with AEW, and then we'll get into some other news. Let's talk about the opening. A lot of changes in AEW today. Chris Jericho comes out, and crowd is singing along with the Judas song, and he gets on the mic, and he, you know, couldn't sleep, was thinking about the match on Sunday. He wants Eddie Kingston to come out. Chris Jericho wants to shake Eddie Kingston's hand. He wants to clear things up. Eddie Kingston comes out. Chris Jericho starts by thanking him for bringing something out of Chris Jericho that he didn't think existed anymore. And Jericho, unfortunately, did not keep his word. He did not shake Eddie Kingston's hand. He wants to make it up to Eddie Kingston. He wants to apologize to him face to face. Eddie Kingston starts talking about the Chris Jericho that he knew from war, the Chris Jericho he knew from yesteryear. And, you know, during Eddie Kingston's part of it, there was a couple of fans doing the what chants. And, you know, look, I am a huge Eddie Kingston fan. I've followed that guy's career for 20 years. I mean, I started trying to educate some people with NWA when he was there. The guy is awesome. You know, he got a little rattled with a couple of, what chants. And Eddie Kingston, you know, stops his promo. He's like, could you show a little respect? You know, and yeah, I mean, look, I don't like the what chants either. But, you know, it seems that when you have some fans that, you know, unless the entire building goes along and how to some wrestlers want, you know, they have to single someone out and almost guilt them out of, you know, it's not a requirement that everybody in that building has to love Eddie Kingston. Some people love heels. Some people love, you know, other characters. And some people may not like Eddie Kingston. Just like tonight, if you heard Tony Schiavone greeting Adam Hangman Page, he got a mixed reaction. Not a whole lot of cheers until he put over Dante Martin a little bit. But you're not required to go one way or the other. So if Eddie Kingston was a heel and those fans were doing a what chance, you know, you have to sit there and take it. So Eddie Kingston, you know, showing some appreciation to Chris Jericho as well. But he also said, you know, you're still the man, Chris. You're still number one. But what is in that hole in your chest that won't let you shake my hand? I did get a little chuckle at one thing that Eddie Kingston said. Now, I've always laughed when he said that AEW is not sports entertainment. You know, you think of Danhausen, you think of Luchasaurus, and we could go on and on and on. You know, it's a little funny. But when Eddie Kingston said, you know, how come you can't respect young guys like me? And I was like, wait a minute, Eddie Kingston is 40. You know, I got a kick. I mean, yeah, probably everybody except Sting is younger than Chris Jericho. But I was like, Eddie Kingston is 40. Is that technically a young guy anymore? I mean, people used to laugh when Hulk Hogan used to say, yeah, we got these young stars of tomorrow, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Meanwhile, they're already in their 30s. So anyway, Jericho gets back on the mic and he says everything that Eddie Kingston said was right. Jericho says he's got his underlining respect for Eddie Kingston for giving him one of the best matches in his career. Please shake my hand. Eddie Kingston shakes his hand. 2.0 come out. and 2.0 start beating down on Eddie Kingston and a little bit on Jericho. You go back and watch, it was soft and for a reason. Santana and Ortiz come out and make the save. Ortiz has Floyd, the bat. So they grab one of the members of 2.0, give the bat to Jericho so he could take care of business. Instead, Jericho turns on Santana and Ortiz. Beating them down, Jake Hager comes out. Jake Hager is arguing with Chris. What are you doing? What are you doing? So we think that Jake Hager is going to be attacked by Chris Jericho. Instead, Jake Hager joins up with Chris Jericho. So now you got Jericho, Hager, 2.0, and Daniel Garcia beating down Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Jericho with some bat shots, which some looked okay, some didn't. One really bad spot. They set up a table. 2.0 set up a table on the outside. And, you know, I didn't see anything wrong with the placement of the table. But Jake Hager picks up Eddie Kingston and from the top of the apron on the side of the ring, and he powerbombs Hager. Hager powerbombs Eddie Kingston through the table. It looked like he went head first through the table. So it looked a little bit scary for a little while. And basically, Jericho gets back in on the mic, and Chris Jericho says, "This is the Chris Jericho Appreciation Society, and that is entertainment." So they went from the Inner Circle to this. Now, I have nothing against Daniel Garcia or Hager. I mean, I've been praising Hager for a while, and he's in an insane shape. But I just can't get into 2.0. I mean, you know, I will admit that AEW's done a better job with them than they did in NXT. But they're like comedy fodder. And I don't know how I feel about this. To me, this is a major step down from the Inner Circle. And sure, Sammy Guevara, he has graduated. Sammy Guevara is on his own. You know, Santana and Ortiz, you know, this is, I guess, their way of breaking out as well. But does it feel like Santana and Ortiz is in the title hunt at all? I mean, is this where it's leading to eat up another month or so, 2.0 and Santana and Ortiz? I don't think this is something that a lot of people really wanted. I mean, I don't like the Chris Jericho Appreciation Society. I mean, I hope that's not the name of the faction. Hopefully that's just a phrase that he used tonight to piss people off. But a lot of people think that it might be the Jericho Appreciation Society, JAS. What are you going to say next? You can't spell jackass without JAS? I don't know, man. I don't know, but that's what we got tonight. So Inner Circle is officially no more, and we'll see where it goes from here. By the way, I will get into some questions, super chat and none, towards the end of the show because we're moving along and we're almost halfway done already. Tony Schiavone, we have a recap of CM Punk and MJF, little backstage promos, you know, little highlights from Revolution. So Hangman Page, as I said earlier, was interviewed by Schiavone. Now, for those that didn't see it, we had interesting match. Hangman Page defending the AEW World Championship against Dante Martin. The match went about 6 minutes. Tony Khan with a very weird tweet. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I know exactly what it was because it just felt like, wow, just like stupid reason to put a match on. I'll explain. Hangman Page beats Dante Martin with the Buckshot Lariat in about 6 minutes. All right, fine. Tony Schiavone gets in the ring. He's got the microphone, and he welcomes Hangman Page. Mixed reaction. Remember what I said on the Revolution recap on Sunday. Fans are not behind Hangman Page as much as people think. I applaud him for wearing, you know, the colors that he is. I am totally against that bill that was passed in Florida about don't say gay or whatever it is. I don't bring that stuff up because I look at it like I treat everybody the same. I think everybody deserves the same rights. And, you know, I hate having to address biased. You know, everybody should be equal and that's it. So I applaud that. But I'm not going to cheer Hangman Page simply because he's wearing, you know, colors for this or support for this. I'm watching pro wrestling. I'm watching entertainment. I want to be entertained. That's what I'm. Of course, I appreciate someone who gives a shit about equality and rights. But that's not going to make me want to cheer someone as a babyface or one way or the other. So he's getting a mixed reaction. So Hangman Page, Dante Martin is walking up the rampway. And Hangman Page says, you know, Dante, get back in this ring. And he says that he knows that Darius is back and they are a tag team again. But if anything happens in the future and should you make it back here, singles, I'd be glad to do it again. So he gets a little bit more appreciation for that kind gesture for Dante Martin. So Adam Cole interrupts. He's not having any of this crap. He's pissed off. He will not stop until he gets what he wants, until he gets what he deserves, and that is the AEW World Championship. So how do you get that back? Oh, six-man tag challenge. All right, whatever. Adam Cole is going to choose two of his guys, and Hangman Page could choose any two partners of his choice, and they will have a six-man tag match next week. Now, Adam Cole using words like party, I have these two young guys that live rent-free in your head, so everybody watching thinks he's talking about the Young Bucks. So that is the challenge that is made for next week. I know, Rams fan. Give me what I want. Give me what I need, damn it. So we know we're having a six-man tag. We just don't know officially who Paige's partners are going to be. So because they, I guess, can't explain why Hangman Page chose Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, they do this backstage segment with the Dark Order. Like, hey, you know, what is your relationship with Adam Cole after Sunday? What the fuck does that even mean? What the hell does Sunday have to do? Think about that. So anyway, you know, Hangman Page shows up. He still supports the Dark Order. They want to be in the match next week. But Hangman Page is like, oh, sorry, I already talked to the dinosaur and the Jungle Boy. So they feel a little dejected. Fine. So a little bit later on, I guess we could jump a little bit ahead. We get another backstage segment. Adam Cole in the middle, Red Dragon on your left, on his left. No, on his right. I'm trying to do it in reverse because you're looking at me the opposite way. So if you're watching the TV stream, you have Red Dragon here, Young Bucks here, Adam Cole in the middle, Goofy Cutler on the camera, and Adam Cole says, look, I know we didn't have a good Sunday. I didn't win the championship. You guys didn't win the tag titles. Young Bucks and Red Dragon are kind of arguing with each other, blaming each other for the loss. And Adam Cole starts saying, teasing again, I have two guys for you, Paige. Two guys, again, live rent-free in your head, that they like to party and they're young. So the Young Bucks think it's them. So they step up and they're like, look, you know, we don't want nothing to do with a match against Hangman Page. Adam Cole does what Kenny Omega did. Now, if you didn't pick up on this, be careful on social media. You might have people rub it in your face. Because remember, Kenny Omega back then before he left, oh no, I wasn't talking about you, Adam Cole. So he was talking about Red Dragon all along. So it's going to be Red Dragon and Adam Cole versus Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Hangman Page, I guess, next week. So that's what we had there. Now, we get to Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson. They beat Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake, William Regal, in the corner of Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, and Tony Schiavone goes in the ring again to interview William Regal. William Regal gets on the mic, very emotional. Man is a very emotional guy, very, very likable guy. What I loved about this match was a quick match. I loved halfway through the match the building loud. Thank you, Regal. Thank you, Regal. I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, tell you one thing, you know, not every AEW fan is a scumbag. You know, I'm an AEW fan. I don't think I'm a scumbag. A lot of you tuning in are AEW fans. I don't think any of you are scumbags. It's just that the ones who are scumbags are gigantic scumbags. And I wish wrestlers within AEW would sometimes address these very, very loud, powerful scumbags, which we will talk about a little bit later on. So, Bryan Danielson hits the LaBelle Lock on JD Drake. He taps out. And Tony Schiavone interviews William Regal. William Regal brings up that it's been 29 years since they've been together. And William Regal talks about how he's 53 years old and he's lived a hard life. He doesn't feel that he's too long left in this world, too many empty bottles. He says to Tony Schiavone, look, I've talked to you before off camera, but this is the first time on camera I can thank you for what you did for me 30 plus years ago. And he got very, very choked up. Totally legit, totally sincere. You could Google it if you want the full story. William Regal is a very, very, very good man. That's why social media in the pro wrestling community, forget fans like you and me, the pro wrestling community, the wrestlers, whether they've been in the business for 1 year or one decade or three decades, everybody spoke up about their love for William Regal. You know, what he had a very, very, very long run in WWE. And that's why, you know, he will always be grateful for that. But he said for the last 2 months, he disconnected himself from wrestling. But he says, then he heard from someone that Bryan Danielson mentioned his name on Dynamite, so he had to tune in to see what was going on. Next thing you know, him and Jon Moxley are going to have a match at Revolution. So he had to do something about it. He said his friend of 21 years was going to fight Jon Moxley. He puts over their history. He mentions about meeting Mox 11 years ago. Didn't talk much about Mox because it wasn't as much of a relationship. It was nowhere near the same relationship that he had with Bryan Danielson. But he feels the perfect wrestler against the perfect brawler, sadistic brawler. You put them two together. A warning to everyone in AEW who steps in the ring against these two men, you will not like the outcome. You either step up or get stepped on. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Did what it needed to do. These are professionals. These are professionals. And it shows. It shows. Awesome segment. I think everybody loved that segment. I really thought it was great. And the match with Anthony Henry and JD Drake was not bad either. I mean, obviously we knew the outcome and we knew it wasn't going to last very long. But in the midst of this, you know, when Hangman Page beat Dante Martin in 6 to 7 minutes, Tony Khan posts a tweet and says, because the heavyweight championship match, or the world champion, we can't say heavyweight, the world championship match didn't go an hour, that he's going to give us an extra match, Pac versus Wheeler Utah. Tony Khan, for some reason, because the match only went 6 or 7 minutes, that he felt that he had to publicly tell everyone, I'm going to give you another match, Pac versus Wheeler Utah. Kind of backfired because I saw a lot of women were like, well, how's about giving us a second women's match on Dynamite? I was like, ouch. But fair point. Fair point. So we go to, I'm just going through the notes because, you know, I went a little bit out of order here. FTR, backstage segment, talking about, you know, what they've done in AEW, but Dax talks about how wrestling was always his first love until he got married and until he had his firstborn. And he talks about, you know, he wants to go up against Red Dragon and others, and Tully Blanchard shows up, and Tully Blanchard is pissed off. Basically, Tully Blanchard is like, you hired me, and it was about AEW championships. And, you know, Dax is like, no, this is about my family also. And Tully Blanchard, if I want to just summarize it, he's like, fuck family for a minute. Win the championships, and then you spend your time with your family. And Cash turns around and says, this is about family. and you're not family, Tully, you are fired. Tully Blanchard is no longer a part of FTW. Tully Blanchard's contract coming up, I don't know. FTR's, I don't think, is coming up. Maybe it is, but Tully Blanchard is no longer a part of FTR. Maybe this was just done to, you know, get them babyface. I don't know, but, you know, I like Tully with FTR. Gave me the Heenan Brainbusters vibes. So, you know, hey, things always have to change. So, backstage segment, Swerve cutting a promo. Tony Nese interrupts, sets up a match for Rampage. I'll give you the Rampage preview in a little bit. Wardlow comes out, cuts a promo. I think this, for a lot of people, this might be their real introduction to Wardlow on the mic. Wardlow, as we've talked about in the past, is very good on the mic. Very soft-spoken, but gets intense where needed. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of early Batista. But Wardlow talks about his family, talks about his mom financially struggling. He wanted to give his mom and his family a better life. And he gives compliments to MJF. He keeps calling him Max. Max gave me a lot of money, and it changed my life. And he thanks Max. But it doesn't give you the right to disrespect someone, threaten their family, or put your hands on someone. So he says he's still under contract with MJF. Seed planted. I'll tell you why in a minute. But Matt, he doesn't give a shit. He is officially no longer part of the Pinnacle. And he would love to give a powerbomb party to MJF, but he would rather just part ways. And he's also saying that all he wants to concentrate right now is winning the TNT title, eventually winning more. And he puts everybody in AEW on notice. Everybody's officially in Wardlow's world. Crowd loved it. I thought it was great. Needed to say what it needed to say. And this is exactly what we talked about Sunday. MJF does not show up today, sells the injuries. Welcome to the family, Philip. Welcome. It's MJF sells his injuries. Wardlow has the TNT title match next week. That's probably where you get Shawn Spears and MJF doing what they're doing. Now, the big question is, do they cost Wardlow the match? Or does MJF force Wardlow, since he's still under contract, does he force Wardlow to hand the title over? I know what MJF said last week, but MJF in storyline could change his mind whenever he feels like it. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. The Punk promo, Darren, that you saw. By the way, Darren, thank you for wearing my shirt yesterday. I didn't even notice because the screen was so small. So, but that was cool. He was part of the watch party yesterday. But no, the promo that they filmed with Punk was the night of the pay-per-view. So, an awful, awful, awful segment with Keith Lee and Who Dat. Keith Lee is being interviewed. And QT Marshall is with Keith Lee. QT, you asked for this time. And Keith Lee is like, what is on your mind, QT? And QT is like, we have a common enemy in Team Taz. Keith Lee, I just wanted to let you know that the Factory and QT have your back. And Keith Lee says, I have a very large back. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm good. And Keith Lee walks away. Okay. What does Who Dat say? What do you mean, Keith? You're going to pay, Keith. You're going to pay for that. Pay for fucking what? Pay for what? We got your back. I'm good. Thank you. I'm good. You're going to pay. Pay for what? This is why this motherfucker was never an Impact Wrestling star or a WWE star or an NXT star. He couldn't even get in Lucha Underground. He could have been El Huito Jabo. This motherfucker, he does so much behind the scenes. But seriously, whoever fucking, you're going to pay. Pay for what? Awful. Also awful, Layla Hirsch losing to Thunder Rosa. That woke me up a little bit. Thunder Rosa beating Layla Hirsch, very predictable. Next week, they're in San Antonio, Texas. Cage match, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker for the championship. That means nobody could get involved. All right. If Thunder Rosa wins that belt next week, great. But you did all this dumb shit the last 2 months just so she could win it in her hometown. You know, I get it. In the end, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, oh, that match at Revolution with that Rebel interference, not once, not twice, three times. But the match with Layla Hirsch today was not good. Sorry. But Britt Baker cutting a promo. She makes sense. But this is AEW, honey. Nothing makes sense. Sammy fucking Guevara hits a 636 through a table. And then we go to commercial. And he's laying out in the table for 2+ minutes. I think it was 5 minutes altogether. And the referee's like, you okay? You got a boo-boo? Can I carry you to the back? And meanwhile, I'm like, wait a minute. There's no count out in this match. Fucking count the motherfucker out. He can't continue. You give the belt to Scorpio Scott. It doesn't make sense in AEW. You know, this is why, you know, seriously, if you're going to be a professional promotion, this is why I don't have a GM. We've talked about this for 2+ years. What you saw tonight is why we don't have a GM. When Britt Baker cut a promo, wait a minute, Thunder Rosa, you lost. Why aren't you in the back of the line? You're no longer number one contender. How do you get an eliminator match 3 days later? Yeah, it does. She's right. But it doesn't matter because everybody gets what they want. At the end of the day, I feel good. I feel good. You know? Oh, gas prices are too high. Oh, my old neighbor at the end of the block, she can't get gas. All right, somebody fucking robs the gas station. Well, you know what? It was for an old lady, and he did the right thing. And, you know, in the end, the gas station can afford losing a couple of gallons. Get the fuck out of here. I know that it's, you're seeing now why the rankings are shit. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus beat the Acclaim today to retain the titles. Remember the Acclaim, number one contenders for quite a while. And then they were facing Sting and Darby Allin. I said, say bye-bye to number one contenders. But after all that shit, they still get a title shot. The rankings mean nothing. They are just, oh, we try to follow it. It's almost like a diet. It's almost like a diet for somebody that is really fat. Yes, I still have. It's like somebody has a diet that, hey, I'm going to be on a strict diet. I'm not going to have any soda. I'm not going to have any soda whatsoever. I don't care what it is. I'm not going to have any soda whatsoever. But, you know, today I can have a little. It's just a little. You know, the rankings are shit. So, main event tonight, as I just said. I know we skipped Jay Cargill's promo. Oh, who's next? Who's left? And they run down 5 people. Okay, they're not bad. But all the names that matter, they're not mentioned at all. So, whatever. It is what it is. Scorpio Sky defeats Sammy Guevara to win the TNT Championship. Now they're acknowledging the relationship with Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara on screen. During this match, Guevara does a 636, had Scorpio Sky laid out on a table outside the ring. Guevara does a 636, no water in the pool. Scorpio Sky gets out of Dodge. So Guevara is just laid out. Referee is checking on him. Doctor's checking on him. Ty Conti, my honey. And she's concerned. And we go to fucking commercial. The dumbest time to do a picture-in-picture. Because for the entire 3 minutes of picture-in-picture, this is what we got. Ooh, me tummy. It hurt. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh. Was it the table or your food, Ty? You're not that great of a cook. Ooh, 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 ooh. Sounds like me having intercourse. 3 minutes. The fucking guy is on the table being helped to the back. And Scorpio Sky. 1, 2. Why the fuck am I counting him out? I can't win the title on a count out. Why am I doing this? Scorpio Sky is actually counting like a count out. And I'm like, you nitwit in storyline. You lose if he gets counted out. Why is there no count out? Oh, because it's AEW. And oh, just let it go. And again, I'm a huge goddamn fan of Sammy Guevara. Huge fan of Sammy Guevara. But come on. It's stupid shit is stupid shit. Right before the commercial, somebody must have said, oh, 10 seconds before we're back. 10 seconds. All of a sudden, he's like, ooh, I could do it. I could do it. And he charges back in the ring. They go at it a little bit more. You get Dan Lambert with some interference. Paige Van Zandt takes out Ty Conti. And then the next thing you know, Scorpio Sky hits his finisher. He is the new TNT champion. They lay out Guevara after the match. Paige Van Zandt signs a contract, and I'm assuming she's probably going to take on Ty Conti. You know, which, you know what, I'll give it a chance. I'll give Zandt a chance. But, you know, I'm happy for Scorpio Sky. But is this just transitional so Wardlow gets the belt? I don't know. But come on. I mean, people are so goddamn petrified to criticize or question things because you got this mob waiting for you. This is hurting AEW, and we'll get into the rant in a little bit. I want to get into NXT because we're starting to fall a little behind. But for next Wednesday's Dynamite, for St. Patrick's Day Slam, we have the six-man tag, which they didn't mention towards the end of the night. I don't know why, but I'm assuming it's still on. Red Dragon and Adam Cole versus Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Hangman Page. We have Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker in a cage match, and you got Sammy Guevara versus Wardlow for the TNT title. This Friday for Rampage, we got Tony Nese versus the Isaiah Swerve Scott, Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes Martinez, Darby Allin versus Mark Quinn. Remember I said before that was to set up the match with Darby Allin and Mark Quinn instead of just having a match. Again, why did Sting and Darby Allin make the save for Matt Hardy or attempt to? Why? Give me one valid reason why. And why is Sting out there? I just realized it. Why is Sting out there after going through three tables? And why is Andrade out there going through teeth? Andrade should have been taped up to the gill, had a brace on, worn crutches, or even in a goddamn wheelchair. Nobody's selling nothing. And then we got the match we all want. And I'm kind of looking forward to the watch party Friday just for this match. Keith Lee versus QT Marshall. All right. NXT yesterday. Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai advanced to the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. They defeated Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez. The story of this match, you had Toxic Attraction on the couch. They attacked Raquel Gonzalez, kind of like Tonya Harding, if you remember. Remember with Nancy Kerrigan? Why? Why? She's selling the injury. Dakota Kai, at certain points during this match, was a little bit struck because Raquel Gonzalez is her former best friend. And Dakota Kai felt guilty a little bit attacking Raquel Gonzalez since she was injured. To me, the dumb part of this match was Cora Jade. And nothing against Cora Jade. It was just the way it was set up in storyline. Cora Jade is taken out during the match and she's laid out outside the ring. And while she's laid out outside the ring, you know, Raquel Gonzalez is the victim of a whole bunch of offense with Dakota Kai and Wendy Chu. And Wendy Chu, not doing as much of the sleep stuff in the beginning of the match. You know, she pretends like she's sleeping in the mat. And everybody's like, shh. Like, kick her. Kick her. So it was bad timing because when they hit the finisher where Dakota Kai pinned Raquel Gonzalez, we had the splash. And just as the three count, Cora Jade, and we even, during the watch party, we were even saying, like, what the hell's Cora Jade? And as soon as the three count, her head picks up. And she suddenly is acting like nothing happened to her. And it just, the way it came off on TV, maybe a lot of people didn't notice it, but it was awful. Especially, like, we were commenting during the match, like, this is for the finals of the Dusty Classic in storyline. This is for a tag team title shot. And just Cora Jade just got up like nothing. And she jumped Mandy Rose earlier, showed all this anger and emotion, and it just, I don't know, it was goofy, to be honest with you. I didn't like it at all. I mean, obviously, I know why Cora Jade would be mad at Mandy Rose, because Toxic Attraction assaulted her partner. But the way it came across on TV was not very good. B. Mills, welcome to the family. So, after that match is over, the Creed brothers were attacked in a parking lot by an unknown duo. And we were joking about this yesterday, too. You have Diamond Mind. Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? And yes, it's storyline. But whenever somebody is attacked, suddenly they don't understand English. If you ever watch somebody get an attack in the back and they're writhing in pain, ow, ow, my neck, my back, my pussy and my crack, ow, ow, ow. Who did it? Who did it? Ow, ow. Maybe it was the Ow brothers. The Albert brothers. I mean, we're watching this. Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Ow, ow, ow. It's like that scene in Family Guy. Ow. I'm not going to do it that long. Fallon Henley over Tiffany Stratton. And this was a little bit of an upset. Before Tiffany Stratton came out for a match, we had, Saray scoping out Tiffany Stratton. I thought this was going to be a squash with Tiffany, but what ends up happening is during the match, Fallon Henley, she's doing some decent offense against Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany goes up against the rope, and Saray kicks her from behind, knocks her on her ass. Fallon Henley does a running knee strike and pins Tiffany Stratton. This is all designed to set up a match between Saray and Tiffany Stratton next week. So after the match is over, Briggs and Jensen put Stratton on, Henley on their shoulders to celebrate in victory. All right, not that bad of a segment. Chase University, Andre Chase, you suck. I know they're trying to do the Bobby Knight stuff, and he's doing recaps, and he's pissed off, and he throws a basketball at somebody in the crowd, but it looks like he's reading cue cards. It's not even like a lot of emotion. The only parts that are funny were any curses. But, you know, anybody that curses in pro wrestling, if you do it a certain way, it could be comical. So, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams are in a barbershop. If anybody's from like Philly or Chicago, Detroit, Bronx, Brooklyn, you know those barbershops. And I say that as a compliment. And they're, you know, bragging, getting their haircuts done, talking about Stand and Deliver. And at Stand and Deliver, we're going to have a ladder match to determine, you know, the North American Championship. He will defend the belt. And we're going to have qualifying matches to determine who's going to be in that match. Next week, I think it's Cameron Grimes versus Santos Escobar in one of the qualifiers. Our favorite segment last night, which was inspired by my thumbnail for tonight, Thick Chicks. We had Nikita Lyons with Lash Legend, lashing out with Lash Legend. And Lash Legend throwing some shade at Nikita Lyons' parents. And she insults Nikita's mom about, you know, that she was everybody's groupie. And Nikita responds back saying, you know, don't be judgmental. And they get a little bit heated. Lash Legend basically accuses Nikita Lyons of putting it like her ass is not natural. Her chest is not natural. King LOD, welcome to the family. Lash Legend accuses Nikita Lyons that maybe like some parts of her body are not natural and I'm not going to get up and touch my ass. But then Nikita Lyons like, honey, everything is natural. The only thing natural about Lash Legend is that she's full of shit. We get a pull apart. I'm telling you, they should be thick and thicker. People were loving this segment yesterday. It's amazing. It's amazing. Thick is in. I mean, look, thick has been in. I've always liked someone with a little meat on their bones. You know, somebody during our Patreon show, which I know was on YouTube for a couple of hours yesterday, I passed out. I fell asleep. I forgot to put it members only, which is only fair. But somebody said, like, I think it was FMK, you know, Mary Kill. And the choices were Nikita Lyons, Mickey James, and Scarlett Bordeaux. F, Mary Kill. You know, fuck Mary Kill. And I said, I would not be able to marry Nikita Lyons. And everybody was like, what are you, nuts? And I'm like, you think I want to have Nikita Lyons as a wife? And I walk into a supermarket, especially if I'm like traveling through the hood. And I'm like, honey, you know, we got to get groceries. Let's go in this store. I walk in there and it's like that, you know, that scene from, what is it, House Party? Everybody's like, damn. They're just like looking at the shape of her ass. Damn. You think I want to go through life like that? I go to the old age home. Damn. No way. Give me somebody with a out of shaped ass, three tits, three eyes, double chin, you know, more chins in a Chinese restaurant. Because when we walk by, everybody would be like, I think I dropped something on the floor. I'm just joking. My fiance's hot. Damn. Grayson Waller over LA Knight in a last man standing match. Looks like we're going to probably go about 15 minutes over tonight. It's all good. Don't have to be perfect, but we have to start, you know, trimming them down a little bit. We're not going to go more than 90 minutes. That I know. 90 is like the ultimate cutoff. Street fight was fun. During the match, we had chairs, garbage cans, handcuffs. Sanga comes out of nowhere. Basically, what happens is they stop brawling before Grayson Waller could come out. LA Knight attacks him on the stage. They brawl inside the ring. They go outside the ring. They work their way atop a scaffold. And L.A. Knight knocks Grayson Waller off the scaffold. He's out of sight. L.A. Knight starts going back towards the ring. Wow. You see redness from earlier? Sanga comes out of nowhere, and he carries Grayson Waller. I tell you, man, the more I see Sanga, he is one big motherfucker. He is huge. Seriously. That guy scares the shit out of me. You know, he's just massive. So as he carries Grayson Waller back, LA Knight grabs a chair, starts wailing on Sanga a little bit. Sanga gets a little bit pissed off and he no-sells the chairs. And he gives LA Knight a choke slam on the apron. And then LA Knight finds a pair of handcuffs. And he handcuffs Sanga to the corner post. So Sanga can't do anything. Grabs a chair, wails on Sanga's back a little bit more. For some reason, Sanga was pretty much unconscious with a couple of chair shots to the back. One point, LA Knight put a garbage can over Waller's head, smashed it a couple of times with a chair. And I did an indie show where somebody put one of those metal garbage cans over my head and whacked it twice with a chair. It doesn't hurt, but your ears want to explode. I mean, the sound of the metal banging against the metal, and you're inside that, your ears just want to pop. So believe me, Waller probably had to take a pair of Tylenols after the match was over. So anyway, how the match ends, Grayson Waller takes out a slapjack and nails LA Knight with it. LA Knight is laid out on the announcer's table. Grayson Waller climbs the top rope. And not only does he do an elbow drop, it's almost like a frog splash, you know, going like this, but he goes in and goes out with the elbow, and it looked awesome. It looked freaking awesome. So Grayson Waller ends up, you know, trying to get up for the 10 count. Remember, it's last man standing, so you don't have to pin. So the referee's counting the 10. LA Knight is trying to get up from the table, but he is pretty much knocked out. Grayson Waller's trying to get up. And here is Sanga, who is handcuffed to the corner. So he's just grabbing on Sanga and trying to pull himself up, and he pulls himself up right before 10 and gets the win. It was a good match. It was a good match. The right person won. You know, I mean, LA Knight is super over with the fans, and Grayson Waller, you know, gets another victory. Tony D'Angelo seen in a restaurant. He declares himself the new Don of NXT. Yeah, I guess you could say that. And he promises something big. It's stand and deliver. Mandy Rose laid out by Cora Jade. Okay, it was all right. Malik Blade and Enes Enofe having the fruit, and they're trying to, like, break up the fight. Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray over Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter to advance to the final. This match was okay. I tell you, man, we always knew, and we talked about it a lot yesterday, we always knew that Casey Catanzaro was small. I never realized that she's smaller than Zelina Vega, because she usually has her hair like a little bit boofed out a little bit. She had it really pasted back yesterday, which eliminated another like 2-3 inches, 4 inches in height from the hair. And man, she looked tiny yesterday. I mean, she was pulling out some awesome moves, but in the end, the right team won. Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray, they go to the finals. Indy Hartwell and Persia Peralta in the back. They are no longer buddies. You know, she is, Indy's pissed. Peralta got pinned at the last week, and they're arguing with each other, and ends up, oh, why don't we see who the better person is in the ring? So next week they're going to have a match. Imperium, who was supposed to take on the Creed brothers, but that's not happening because of what happened earlier. They took on MSK anyway for the tag titles. And we looked at the time and we did the watch party yesterday. We all said it. This shit's ending in a no contest, and it's ending in a no contest fast. And that's exactly what happened. What ends up happening is the Creed brothers interfere. They basically beat everybody down. It goes to a no contest. Creed brothers are over with the fans. But it really didn't amount to anything. Backstage segment with Harlan and Joe Gacy. They're talking to Draco Anthony, trying to work things out. Zion Quinn shows up and tells Draco, don't pay attention to these guys. So you know tag match is coming soon. A-Kid. Guys, gals, if you've never seen A-Kid wrestle, be on the lookout for him. He is extremely talented. I believe he's from Spain. I mean, I've seen his in-ring work. I don't give a shit where he's from, but I believe he's from Spain, and he is really, really good. In fact, I didn't even know this until right before we went live, that I think next week is going to be A-Kid versus Kushida. So that match is going to steal the show next week. I hope WWE gives them at least 10 minutes. He's that good. He is that good. So definitely check him out next week. If you've never seen him wrestle before, there's plenty of footage on YouTube. NXT UK has some great matches. He has worked with Ilya. He's worked with some others. The guy is really talented. So he's not necessarily the first Spanish wrestler. I mean, we've had wrestlers from Spain before, but the part of Spain where he comes from, I think, is the reason why they're saying that. So I'm not going to knock it. Not going to knock it. So Jacket Time sees on the screen that A-Kid is coming. And Kushida's, you know, he's all right. He's, you know, he's checking him out and everything. And we have Hiro, Ikemen Hiro. And he's like, oh, A-Kid, he very, very good. He's good. Because she's like, yeah, he's all right. So maybe a little jealousy at Ikemen's excitement for him. Then we had the main event. And it was a little pressed for time, but it did exactly what it needed to do. Dolph Ziggler being the, you know, snake in the grass, trying to find every opportunity to win. Bron Breakker early on showing his strength. Dolph Ziggler, you know, doing everything he has. And Tommaso Ciampa, I mean, putting on a clinic. And you could see Ciampa is more adapted to the main roster. And, you know, Breakker is still, you know, getting his stride. I mean, he's still new. You know, he's trained for years, but he's still new. And, you know, we get a couple of moments where Breakker will dump out Ziggler and it'll leave just Ciampa and Breakker going at a little bit. Breakker hits the Steiner recliner onto Ciampa. Ciampa gets the upper hand, goes for the fairy tale ending on Ziggler, but Bron Breakker blocks it, hits Ciampa with a spear. Breakker blocks an attempted zigzag by Dolph Ziggler, and he hits Ziggler with a spear. So towards the end of the match, Bron Breakker is distracted, and Tommaso Ciampa hits a Willow's Bell on Bron Breakker. We get the fairy tale ending by Tommaso Ciampa, and he goes for a cover, but Dolph Ziggler shoves Tommaso Ciampa aside, tries to steal a pin. Only two count, but a lot of people are like, holy shit, we thought at that moment Dolph Ziggler was winning this match. Ciampa throws Dolph Ziggler outside the ring. Tommaso Ciampa pulls down his knee pad, and he goes for the running knee onto Bron Breakker, but here's Robert Roode. And Robert Roode pulls Breakker out of the ring before Ciampa could hit the running knee. So Ciampa turns around. He's greeted by a super kick from Dolph Ziggler. Ciampa goes down. Dolph Ziggler pretty much just falls on Ciampa. Dolph Ziggler, one, two, three. Dolph Ziggler is your new NXT champion. And again, like I said at the beginning of the show, Breakker just can't believe it. He didn't get pinned. He was just in shock. And yes, you'll see next week when Ziggler cuts his promo. You still got a lot of learning to do, kid. And that's just to set up the storyline. He'll get more experience and he will dethrone the champion. It was a fun episode of NXT. Now, ratings-wise, they had a nice little bump this week. 613,000 viewers. They regained that 10% drop from last week. As you see with the other ratings, you know, they've all gone up a decent amount. Did SmackDown go up last week? Yeah. Everything went up last week. So we're back on that trend of every show with an increase in ratings and some nice increases as well. Dynamite actually was the one that didn't have, that's right. Last week we were surprised at Dynamite going down. Yeah. So every show except for Dynamite. But this week I think Dynamite absolutely rebounds. You got the tag team of Moxley and Danielson, William Regal, the rumors of Hardy debuting and a whole bunch of things going down. We had the first Dynamite after Revolution. So I think they get towards the 1.1 million. They should. 1,100,000 should definitely be in reach for AEW. So fun show. Now, I had a few people email this to me. I did a little research, and the only place that I could really see, you know, where this came from was from Fightful. And I don't know exactly who was the one that originally reported the news, but the only source I could see is Fightful. So Fightful is probably the one that broke it. But apparently Miro has signed a contract extension to stay in AEW through the beginning of 2026. So for some of you out there that thought that the Redeemer may, you know, try to get back with WWE at a higher salary, it's not happening anytime soon. 2026, everyone. Almost 4 years from now. So Miro back in WWE is not happening anytime soon. That's pretty surprising. I mean, 4 years is a lot. Very, very surprising, because I have not really heard much about four-year deals in AEW. So very, very surprised at that. So Tony Khan, after Revolution ended last week, they did a media scrum. And he was asked a little bit about Ring of Honor. Now, look, some people I saw commenting about it saying, he dodged this, he dodged that, he dodged this. You know, I think people really need to understand. When you buy a wrestling promotion with a 20-year history, with a gigantic tape library that only has technically one show scheduled, that you don't have an established roster, you're bringing in wrestlers that are not even under contract, that is a lot to try to change in 1 week. You know, I mean, I understand everybody wants to play fantasy booker, but even if you bought like a little bodega, from somebody, you know, you're not going to be able to transfer everything over and have it established and have concise, specific details in not even a week. I mean, the people that were asking these questions Sunday, again, I'm not trying to knock anybody, but does anybody even take a step back and say, okay, wait, he just inked the deal less than a week ago. How could we ask about a TV deal? How could we ask about a streaming thing? How could we ask about the future of the roster? How could we ask about this? How could we, I mean, the guy hasn't probably even given the keys yet, you know? So, but what was good that did come out of it, Cordarrus Lee, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. What was good that did come out of it is Tony Khan definitely has no intentions on putting Ring of Honor on the shelf. Could Ring of Honor get a 6 month to a year hiatus because of this? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's not as easy as you think. A lot of people perceive, based on his comments, that he may be bringing this like an NXT, that it's its own separate promotion, but it will also help develop the stars of tomorrow. Yes, you have the Nightmare Factory. Yes, you have training schools associated with AEW, but having a promotion and being able to perform in front of small crowds, getting exposure, storylines, things that is irreplaceable. And especially with a history of Ring of Honor and Tony Khan being a lifelong fan of Ring of Honor, you know, that man is extremely proud, you know, of owning the company that he grew up absolutely loving. I've said since the day he started AEW, I said Tony Khan's fantasy promotion is AEW meets ECW. AEW meets ECW. And now he gets to mold Ring of Honor with his vision, but to keep it with respect. Now, Joe Coff and others behind the scenes, you know, they wanted to continue the respect part of Ring of Honor as well. Of course, they wanted to ink the best deal. WWE did not feel it was an absolute necessity, and Tony Khan thought otherwise. But the thing with Ring of Honor is, you know, you have to develop a roster. You have to start figuring out what you're going to do. Like people are saying, are they going to remain on Sinclair? I mean, and what are you going to air? What are you going to air? I mean, you're doing a show WrestleMania weekend because you're going to get a nice revenue WrestleMania weekend. That money goes towards expenses. Even if Ring of Honor is not active, you still have websites, servers, merchandise, other things. You do have expenses, and they're not small. So that show will go towards those expenses, but you know, this is going to take, I would think, 6 months to a year before anything concrete starts to surface. And, you know, a lot of people are very impatient. But for now, you know, he's got it. The good thing is it doesn't seem whatsoever that he plans on putting it on the shelf. You know, this was very, very big. And, you know, the good thing about it is, and I've said this before, you have Samoa Joe, Gabe Sapolsky, Kari Silken. You have various wrestlers. You have Mish and I were talking about yesterday on Patreon. You know, this may be something that CM Punk would love to try to build some stars of tomorrow. You have Bryan Danielson. Maybe you featured Daniel Garcia a little bit more on the Ring of Honor side of things. You know, you have, you know, some people make appearances, and then maybe you can do a storyline here or there. So I think Ring of Honor's future is definitely bright, but it's going to take some time. And the more time it takes, I think the better things will be. I don't think you just want to rush and throw something out there just to appease the impatient people, because the impatient people don't have the money or the responsibility, and they just want to see the finished product. You know, when you make an item, it may take a year or two to develop it. People are like, no, fuck that. I want it now. Okay, you can't give in to that. So that was very, very good. Very, very good. So before we get out of here, I know I have some questions to get into. I just want to address something. Now, I want to make this clear. In no way, shape, or form am I trashing or criticizing this woman that I'm about to show you. But I think it really paints a picture of something I think is a problem going on right now with AEW. Okay. For those that don't know, there's been a lot of criticism, hate, mocking, criticizing, poking fun at people who had no idea that CM Punk used Miseria Cantare back in Ring of Honor when he used that in his debut. The last time he used that music before Sunday was 2005, 17 years ago. Dolph Ziggler, when he won the championship, posted a screenshot with Krusty the Clown. And it's a phrase, if somebody could grab the phrase and put it in the chat room, I'd appreciate it. And it's a picture of Krusty the Clown, and it's a phrase, and it's the episode, I think The Last Temptation of Krust, where Krust was announced his retirement from comedy, and he started doing a little bit of stand-up, Krusty the Clown. And he started saying, like, goofy things, and if I remember the episode, he said something like, "What's up with these female comedians? They all make fun of, like, Red Fox, and this, how are they going to get married?" And he just said, like, stupid things, and people were laughing. And you got Homer Simpson at home. He's like, "Krusty getting crazy." And everybody's laughing, and Krusty the Clown is like, "What's so funny?" Everybody's like, "You're funny." And he's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've officially announced my return to comedy." I think he said something like that. Sorry, chat room was a little too slow with this one, but I think that's what he said. And Dolph Ziggler used that reference, and a lot of people didn't get it. No big deal. I don't think anybody would go back that many years and remember Krusty the Clown making that statement. My point is this. You're not required to know the history of every person that you watch on TV, even if you are a podcaster. We are wrestling fans, and we talk about today. If you're a show that focuses on history, that is different. Imagine going and watching a Star Wars film and not knowing the origins of Star Wars from 1977. Okay, you don't want to go back 45 years? All right. Imagine going to a Harry Potter movie or a Lord of the Rings movie and never seeing the first couple of movies, and you don't understand why did they say this, why did they do this. Are you required to watch every fucking film and know about every goddamn character in order to watch something that comes out now, and you don't understand something, so you ask an honest question? All right? I saw this post from this woman that works, I think, for AEW Fight or something. I don't know. She says, "Let's talk about the CM Punk entrance. It was incredible. Punk has spent this feud making callbacks to Ring of Honor days and has been amazing and rewarding." I agree 100% what she's saying. I'm not criticizing her, but I'm going to bring out a point. She says, "But if you weren't there for that, then guess what? It doesn't fucking matter. It's an Easter egg, and a feud is still great." Okay, I still agree with her. You know, if you weren't there and you didn't live through it, fine. Here's where I get a little bit of an issue with it. She says, if you didn't get the entrance, then it was just Punk coming out to a different song. So why be bothered? She's right. Why be bothered if you didn't understand a reference? Okay, but here's where, to me, I think it goes wrong. Or maybe go learn some history, especially if you know covering the business or listening to Excalibur, because he did explain it. So basically, if you're going to cover it, you have to know every detail about a wrestler's history in order to ask a question. CM Punk, still the best in the world, in the ring, and being a douchebag. CM Punk, let me repeat that. CM Punk is still the best in the world in the ring and being a douchebag. I want to show you a tweet that somebody brought to my attention today. This is a guy, I think he writes for Observer. I'm pretty sure he does. And on Sunday, all he wrote was, what am I missing with this Punk entrance? What am I missing? CM Punk responded. And CM Punk's exact words were, a deep understanding of storytelling, a brain. All this guy did was say, am I missing something with this entrance? And CM Punk's response was, yeah, a deep understanding of storytelling, a brain. So this guy, who meant no malice whatsoever, responds back and says, oh, I understand the story. I had never seen that part of your Ring of Honor career. Now that it's been explained to me, it's really awesome for those people that did. The whole storyline has been my favorite feud I've seen over 2 decades, and I've said that many times. CM Punk's immediate response is to make fun of this guy. Get a brain. No history. And you have thousands of people liking that stuff. My advice to each and every one of you out there is you watch somebody on TV, especially if it's AEW, and you don't know every little aspect of Bryan Danielson's career, John Moxley's career, MJF, William Regal, Scorpio Sky, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin. This is an, you go down the line. My advice to you, enjoy it. Do not go on social media. Do not question. Do not comment, because there is a boatload of people. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to name names, but I ran my hotline during the early days of Ring of Honor. I was around since day one. And you go back and you go during that time when CM Punk was there, you go see how many people showed up. 500? 600? Was there any iPay-per-views at the time? Nope. Were they making crazy sales in video VHS tapes? Nope. You have all these people that will hear the song, will Google it, will see that it's from Ring of Honor, will watch it. Holy shit, I didn't know you. And they wait, and then they go on social media. All these people that didn't know, learned your history. I mean, these motherfuckers didn't know it themselves too. You take any of these people and try to give them a trivia contest for Ring of Honor, they get 90% of it wrong. Remember, when Ring of Honor did their last event and everybody thought it was closing their doors and Bryan Danielson made a tribute and all these people made a tribute, do you remember what all these goofs were saying? Ring of Honor never got the love that it should have back in the day. It was always a scorned child. That it was always neglected, and it too bad if these websites would have covered Ring of Honor more people would have seen it. Now all of a sudden, everybody acts like they saw every fucking goddamn minute of Ring of Honor. If you question, you get ripped on. This hurts AEW tremendously because it feels uncool to be an AEW fan. If you are new as a wrestling fan and you don't understand, oh, I didn't know, you have all these people ready to school you, learn your fucking history. If you question it, then take it and let other people love the Easter eggs, or you learn your fucking history. That is awful. That is awful. I didn't see anybody, hardcore Simpsons fans, ripping everybody early saying, why did Dolph Ziggler put Krusty the Clown in a tweet? Nobody knew that he was referencing Krusty the Clown. Nobody criticized him, but with this AEW, because of a goddamn theme song, know your goddamn history. You have no idea how much that guy got ridiculed and mocked and schooled simply because he didn't know the song. And if you're involved with a website, let me make this clear again. You watch the new Scream, you're not required to have watched every single movie from the past. You want to watch something for the first time, you're a baseball fan, and you never watched baseball 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you're not required to learn about the players from yesteryear. You're doing a history. You enjoy now because you're a wrestling fan. You're not required to go to fucking school. You're not required to learn this, learn that, learn this. I saw something with the Young Bucks. And to me, this is the quintessential example of where AEW gets it wrong. Young Bucks were on a podcast called What Women Binge. Matt Jackson was on there. Matt Jackson talked about how recently the bag was stolen in Italy. And he talks about how, you know, the other week his brother's bag disappeared. The entire bag, it was gone. And he joked and said, like we think we did a little too much bragging online about, oh, look, we got all these expensive shoes. I think they stole whatever, everything that was in the bag. And the next quote right after that is this. Wrestling has the most toxic fan base in the world. They're the worst, honestly. Like, there's a lot of good fans. The ones that love you, love you. But the ones that hate you, they hate you. The title of the article was that Matt Jackson says wrestling is the most toxic fan base. The fuck does a toxic fan base have to do with somebody stealing a bag? You have a nice bag in an airport. These guys think that somebody stole the bag because they're the Young Bucks. You don't know if it's some derelict to say, ooh, look, nice bag. Let me go steal it. I'm in Italy. Give me espresso machine. I give you a bag. He says that the ones that love you, but the ones that hate you, hate you. Well, sir, what about the ones that love you and hate on everybody else because they don't love you? I mean, you see, and that's why, like I say, you look at, look, I don't think it was appropriate for the guy to say the nasty shit that he said to John Moxley when he came back and cut his promo. But people wanted to fucking crucify that guy in the building. All right. You got Eddie Kingston today cutting a promo, and you got a couple of what chants. And, you know, basically, you single out the way he does, and you don't think everybody surrounding that person, because the way that, yeah, shut the fuck up. You say, shut up. You know, it's like, you know, nobody in AEW, nobody online tries like, look, guys, you know, come on. You know, this is ridiculous. Instead of CM Punk saying, look, everybody, you're not required to know what I did in Ring of Honor. If you want to go check it out, go check it out, because I think some of the stuff that I did there was some of the most enjoyable work of my career. But instead, you know what CM Punk does? He deletes the tweet. Like, that makes it better. Just delete. I could be a douchebag. I could jump the gun and insult the guy, get thousands of people against him, and then, I feel like a dick. I'll just delete the tweet. That's not the answer. Tweeting and deleting does not change the aura, the culture, the atmosphere. And I'm telling each and every one of you out there, if you want to really enjoy wrestling, stay the fuck off of social media. If you notice me, I'll plug my stuff. I'll respond to a couple of tweets here and there, but I don't fucking socialize on there no more. You question something and you don't know your history, you're not required. You're not required to know this shit. Enjoy what you're watching on TV, all right? Anybody that just don't stay away from it. It's awful. It's awful. You know how many people online that just want to talk like, holy shit, this is awesome. I never saw this. I never heard this. What are you fucking stupid? Maybe you need to learn your fucking history. You know, it's awful. It is awful. I felt so bad for that guy when I saw that comment. And I'm like, man, all he did say is, what am I missing? The guy responded, a fucking brain? The fuck is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you? What happened to, oh, I'm a changed person and I enjoy this? And I mean, oh, once a douche, always a douche. Guy is doing so good in AEW. And just couldn't, you know, because he got insulted that somebody, you know, may have questioned, what am I missing here? What am I missing? A brain. I don't know, man. I fucking hate that shit. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. If you want, go check this out. I think you'll really appreciate it. Oh, by the way, here. For everybody, here's a gratuitous picture of Nikita Lyons. Because, I don't know, people keep asking for it. So, okay. Check this out. I'm going to show you a quick clip. Very quick clip. We'll answer a couple of questions and we'll get out of here. The watch party that we did yesterday, I have been asked, I've been hired to do one Friday for SmackDown and do one for Rampage. I will give everybody the details about the SmackDown one tomorrow. And, you know, I'll post it on, you know, social media so you know about it. But if anybody out there was wondering how these watch parties look, I'll show you a very quick clip. Now, I cannot obviously air the audio from NXT yesterday, but if you want an idea of what the watch party looked like, you can check that out. That's us.
Didn't protect them from getting attacked in the parking lot, did it?
Yeah. Nobody is safe in the parking lot, son. Parking lot is undefeated.
So that it's pretty much what it is. So we actually watch, you hear the show, you watch it. If you have video, you could go on a stage and you could talk and be heard, or you could just hang out in a text chat. You're not required to have video. I want to make that clear. So for this is open not just for channel members anymore or Patreons. If you want an invite and you want to be part of Rampage Friday, DM me. Or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. I will send you an invite. And then, you know, we all hang out for the hour. You don't have to have NXT or Rampage or SmackDown on your screen. I provide the video. Well, the company provides the video. You just show up. The show is there on your screen. You don't have to download any software or anything like that. You just register and you just click my link. And we hang out for an hour with Rampage live. And we have a lot of fun. Yesterday was a ball. So that was good. That was good. There was yesterday, I would say about 11 that showed up. But remember, I only sent out an invite to a very small group of people. And a lot of people that did not show thought that they were required to have video only. You're not required to be on video. You could just type in a chat room and that's good. You know, but if anybody out there wants to be heard, wants to talk to me, wants to trash the show, wants to criticize something, praise something, then, you know, you enable your webcam or your phone video, whatever it is, and then I could put you on the stage. You know, you don't just show up on the stage. You actually have to give me a little shout and privately on there and say, hey, I want to join the stage. I put you on the stage and we chat. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah, the parking lot reference was about the Creed brothers. They got attacked right before there. So what was said after was pretty funny about that's what inspired the thumbnail with the thick chicks tonight. So that's pretty much it, everyone. So very quickly before I jet out of here, a couple of quick shout outs. And yeah, I'll probably answer a couple of questions in the chat as well. Philip Maffey understands everybody's surprises. But having surprise debuts or returns every other week is starting to get tiresome. It's not tiresome if it's the right debuts, you know, but if you're just going to, like, Paige Van Zandt, I don't know why they had to keep hyping this up. Originally it was going to be a revolution. Then they made it tonight. And then it didn't happen. But at the end, at the very end, it went off the air that way. I mean, I'm not saying anything against Paige Van Zandt. I'm willing to give it a chance. But I don't know. I mean, Jeff Hardy is an exception to the rule. William Regal, Jeff Hardy, those are a surprise I think we want. But again, you know, it gets to a point where you have to start. There's only so many people left out there, everybody. So you're not going to see too many more surprises, really. I mean, you start hyping up. I mean, what happened to, what's his face, Jay White? Seriously. Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door. He had that one Rampage match and he's gone again. What happened to AQA and others? You know, they show up. What, Ruby Soho, what the fuck is she doing on main TV? Oh, if you want to see her, go watch Dark. Why would I want to see somebody with that caliber on Dark? I mean, people were bitching like, why is she only a main event? The fuck? She said she should be on SmackDown, she should be on Raw. Why is she in the main event? You're trying to tell me that Dark is any better? So I don't mind surprises, but sooner or later, those surprises are going to dry up. Yeah, Bryant, he will be live for the Dynamite. Good. He's enjoy it next week. It's going to be a great show. You might see a title change. You might see two title changes next week. So much love, Bryant. Much love. Have a good time next week. And how was the Acclaim drop? I don't know. I was watching, taking notes. I didn't see anybody really popping for it in the crowd. I got to go back and read the lyrics, you know. So, but what did the Acclaim even cut a rap tonight? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I watching it, taking notes, and yeah, I think you should check online. If it was memorable, I would add tons of people with clips showing his rap. So no, I didn't really pay. I was just more, like I said, you know, these were number one contenders for the longest. And, you know, you see where they're at now. I mean, I don't know. I got to go. I'll watch their rap after we're done later. You know, I didn't see anything noteworthy come out of it. So, oh, wait, didn't they tease something about him and Anna Jay having sex? Something about Anna Jay. Didn't she tweet? I kind of remember it now. Anna Jay, she's like wrong. And I think she tweeted and deleted about something. They were making fun of Jungle Boy and Anna Jay. I think that's what it was. Soulfly says I missed his super chat. I don't see anything here. It must, you know, maybe it was anniversary. One, you know, let me see if I can find it here. You know, I don't see it here. You don't have to type, you don't have to put it again, but just type it in the chat room because we're going to, I want to wrap this up. But what did you actually write before, if you don't mind? Just put it in the chat because I'm here checking you out. So everyone, now, I know people were asking me about the video from these watch parties. I'm not posting a video. I understand it was it was not a super chat. I'm sorry. It was probably an anniversary chat. I'm looking at all the super chats right now. Nothing. I'm telling you. He asked, did Meltzer have a positive or negative? Oh, wait a minute. Look at this. I just hit reload. There you go. I just hit reload. Okay, I got it. I got it. I'm always persistent. I always have to. I get nervous when I see technical stuff. Do I think Dave Meltzer has had a positive effect on the wrestling business or negative? My honest answer to that, yes. Yes, he has. Dirt sheets are never going to be uber popular of who they are covering. You go back to the National Enquirer, you go back to the Star, you go back to some of these other tabloids, you know, all these rumors. I mean, look, those places purposely clickbaited people and put false stuff on there. This person's pregnant with an alien. You know, there was some whacked out one with Andre the Giant. I think he was still alive and banged somebody once. It's like wild shit. Dave Meltzer, you know, look, maybe, you know, in the world of pro wrestling, things do change. Storylines change last minute. Booking decisions change. Pushes, de-pushes change, you know. And maybe at times he gets news a little bit early and then plans change. And then just because they change doesn't mean that he lied. I mean, and the problem is you can never prove that something just changed or if somebody got it wrong. So you got to, I've been a fan of Meltzer for decades. And I knew a long time ago that Dave Meltzer was a fan of Japanese wrestling. And I respected that. I'm not a big fan of Japanese wrestling. I like some of it. I like storyline. I am a storyline type of person. I love character development. I love storytelling. And it's hard when you're watching it and all you're seeing is, you know, text on the bottom of the screen, subtitles. It's not the same. But with him, I always knew that he favored Japanese wrestling. So when I read the awards and I read a bunch of names when I was much younger, and I'm like, I don't know any of these people, but I understood why they were covered. You know, I always said, if no one is forced to pay attention to Dave Meltzer, nobody's forced to pay attention to Wade Keller. Nobody is forced to pay attention to Mike Johnson. Nobody is forced to pay attention to Fightful. Nobody's forced to pay attention to Sean Ross Sapp. Nobody's forced to pay attention to anybody. So if those people you don't like, just don't pay attention to them. I think some people are very jealous that some of these people have connections. I think some people get angry when they see people playing footsie under the table and playing favoritism. Instead of just ignoring them and just following the people that you like, they always have to speak out. I will never understand watching certain people online constantly rag on Dave Meltzer when I say, don't fucking pay attention to him. That's it. End of story. Why do you keep it? It's just, you know, Dave Meltzer uses wrestling to, you know, do his newsletter. A lot of these places use these people to give content to their shows. That's why there's so much clickbait stuff with Cody Rhodes and other topics right now. You know, all these people mock these websites for getting shit wrong, but they keep reporting from those websites. Imagine me doing a show and giving you three or four topics that I know are not true, but I get into them anyway because people are reporting them. And then I say to you, this is being reported here. And I know it's not true, but instead of me just ignoring it, I bring it up, I talk about it, and then I say, if I was WWE, I wouldn't have this happen this way. I would do it this way. Meanwhile, I already know that they're not doing it this way. Like Vince McMahon wrestling. Since day one, I came up here and I didn't report that he wasn't wrestling. I gave you the reasons why I felt he wasn't going to wrestle. Who the fuck wants to see 80-year-old Vince McMahon wrestle? Seriously. So everybody else is clickbaiting Vince McMahon wrestling at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee. Vince McMahon. Storyline, angle, this and that. And they knew it wasn't happening, but they still reported it and then went and said, well, if I was WWE, I would seriously consider not having Vince McMahon wrestle and instead have Austin Theory or Corey Graves or somebody else wrestle instead, when they knew that that was the plan all along. So when it does end up that he's not right, see, we were right. If people don't like Meltzer, just don't pay attention to him. I think he has done a lot of good for wrestling. I think, you know, his bias, you have to take that into account. It is his right. And if you don't like it, don't pay attention. So, all right. I think I'm going to get out of here. You know, we went a little bit longer. I really, really, really got to keep these shows around 70 minutes. Yesterday we did 70. It was beautiful. Monday we did 70. It was beautiful. Tonight was beautiful too, because we had some important topics to talk about. I guess tonight might be one of the exceptions with so many things going down. You know, I don't think we're going to get five heel turns and changes and swerves. And, you know, we did get a swerve tonight. And he'll appear on Rampage Friday. But it's going to be fun. I hope you could join me Friday. The same link for my room, whether you're tuning in just for SmackDown or you're tuning in just for Rampage, hell, if you're not bored, tune in for both. But if anybody out there wants to be part of the watch party, like I said, if you're not a channel member and you're not a patron, just DM me on Twitter, at DonTonyD, or email me, DonTony@DonTony.com, and just say, hey, DT, can I get an invite for the watch party for Friday? And I will send you the invite. So we had so much fun yesterday, and I would love to definitely see a whole bunch of new people. And the reason why I'm doing SmackDown and Rampage is because not everybody's a WWE fan. Not everybody's an AEW fan. So I don't want anybody being part of a watch party for a product that they don't want to watch. Right? So, you know, trying to keep it a little diversified. But everyone on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I would greatly appreciate it if you could hit that like button. It actually really does help the show, because the more that happens, the more that tells YouTube, hey, I like this show, you know, recommend it to somebody else. And it's always cool after all these years to see people in the comment section, hey, just checked out the show, never even knew about the channel before, enjoying it, or, you know, it's always nice to see, and never gets old. But if I don't see you all on Friday for the watch party, if you're a channel member, don't forget tomorrow night we have the Q&A. So we're going to have a fun show tomorrow. So get your questions ready, because tomorrow I'm going to sit here and just answer whatever you want me to talk about. So, and for everyone else, if you have any follow-up questions from tonight's show, post it in the comment section, and I'll be more than happy to answer them. So everyone be well, stay safe, much love, and I'll talk to you all soon. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.